Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, it was on this very day back in 1845 that the French army did what? Was it A, the French army ransacked the Russian embassy in Paris? Was it B, the French army arrested Napoleon and held him hostage in Notre Dame? Was it C, the French army closed down all cabarets and prohibited the can-can? Or was it D, the French army introduced the saxophone to its military band? So what did the French army do on this day back in 1845? And question number two, it was on this day back in 1969 that what happened in Moscow? Was it A, the Russian army ransacked the French embassy in Moscow? Was it B, Nikita Khrushchev threatened on Moscow radio to invade the United States? Was it C, the Beatles held an open-air concert in downtown Moscow? Or was it D, thousands of Moscow telephone booths were destroyed by thieves to get phone parts used in converting their acoustic guitars to electric? Moscow. So what happened there in late July of 1969? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of July 29th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1792, that the French national anthem, La Marseillaise by Claude Roger Doulille, was first sung in Paris. By the way, according to a 11/17/2015 article published in The Guardian, just a few years after it had been made the country's anthem, it was disowned by Napoleon because he had seen its power and did not want it to inspire a revolution against him. And also because he hated its composer, who Napoleon believed had had an affair with his wife. 1792, today. And it was 68 years ago today, 1954, that Elvis Presley made his professional debut in Memphis. It was his first concert to be advertised. 1954, today. And in country music news, we have this article titled, On the Road Again, Some Places Across America to Get Your Country Fix. This is written by Peter Cooper and published in AARP, the magazine, July 2022. So one of those places is the Red Dragon Listening Room in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. A nonprofit run by a former liquor distributor who lives for music, the Red Dragon is filled with mismatched couches and rows of chairs in front of a stage. But don't let appearances fool you. Amazing musicians have played here, including Roseanne Cash and Guy Clark. Another place? Buck Owens Crystal Palace. That's in Bakersfield, California. Owens built the restaurant and performance space as a shrine to the quote-unquote Bakersfield sound, which helped transform country music in the 1960s and also counted Merle Haggard among its practitioners. The menu includes what is purported to be the last meal Owens ate before his 2006 death. Skillet, liquor, chicken, fried steak. And then there's the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, Tennessee. This 90-seat listening room draws some of the finest country songwriters. Garth Brooks and Taylor Swift are among those who played the Bluebird in their younger years. The audience is sworn to silence. You can get tossed for talking during the shows. Then, of course, the Grand Ole Opry House in Nashville. The world's longest-running live radio program, the Grand Ole Opry, makes its home here. Each show is packed with a variety of performers, and countless legends have graced its stage. And then there's Gruen Hall in New Brunswick, Texas. Built in 1878 in the Hill Country, this is Texas's oldest dance hall. It features rowdy Texas country, along with songwriting greats. Recent performers include Lyle Lovett, Patty Griffin, and Ray Wiley Hubbard. Then there's the Station Inn in Nashville. Nearly every famous bluegrass musician from Bill Monroe to Ricky Skaggs to Alison Krauss has played this small but hallowed stage. Seating is general admission, and tickets usually are available only at the door on the day of each performance. Fans line up as much as 90 minutes before showtime to avoid the dreaded sold-out sign. It's worth the hassle. Then there's the Birthplace of Country Music Museum. That's in Bristol, Virginia. Located on the Virginia side of Bristol, a city that straddles that state and Tennessee, the museum offers lively examinations of early country music. It also hosts performers and supports the annual Bristol Rhythm and Roots Reunion Festival. Then there's the Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame and Museum in Owensboro, Kentucky. Visitors can watch historic film footage, view memorabilia from the likes of Bill Monroe and Earl Scruggs, and make music on banjos and other instruments. Then there's the Carter Family Fold in Hiltons, Virginia. This spot honors the first family of country music. It's open to visitors on Saturday evenings for tours of A.P. Carter's artifact-rich cabin, as well as concerts that are held at a rustic 800-seat venue. And last but not least, the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum in Nashville. Housed in this massive building is the world's largest collection of country music artifacts. More than 1 million visitors enter the museum each year to view the instruments, outfits, and even automobiles on display. And in classical music news, we have this article titled, How Do Extreme Temperatures Affect Our Musical Instruments? Why do our musical instruments morph in extreme temperatures? We speak to musicians and musical instrument makers on how best to practice and perform in both high heat and cold weather. This is written by Sophia Alexandra Hall and published in ClassicFM.com on the 19th of July, 2022. Musical instruments can be greatly affected by the climate, from minor tuning issues to potential long-term damage, and every instrument responds in its own way. While wind instruments often go flat in the cold, stringed instruments become sharp in the same climate. As many countries across the world experience a heat wave, and with the UK recording its hottest day on record at 40 degrees Celsius, we find out how to keep your instruments and yourself comfortable and safe in extreme temperatures. How do string instruments react to extreme heat? Nicholas Finch is the principal cellist of the Louisville Orchestra in Kentucky. During the summers, Kentucky is hot and humid, with temperatures usually sitting around 35 degrees Celsius. So Finch is no stranger to performing in sweltering heat. If it's too hot, musicians can simply start to sweat onto the instrument, Finch tells Classic FM about his experience playing in high temperatures. I remember during one recital I gave, I literally had to fight against having sweat pouring down the fingerboard as I played. As well as general musician welfare, Finch draws attention to the damaging effects the high temperatures can have on instruments. The biggest concern, especially when an instrument is in direct sunlight, is what can happen to the glue. Finch explains, stringed instruments are purposely glued with a glue that is not too strong because the idea is depending on the humidity. If the wood moves, a seam will open up rather than causing the wood to crack. So when the wood starts to heat up due to higher temperatures, all kinds of things can happen, which means it's really critical that you're not playing stringed instruments in direct sunlight. The biggest problem when it comes to instruments and climate is dry heat. It's not always about how hot the temperature is, it's about the amount of water in the atmosphere. Dry heat can create cracks in the instrument, which means serious repair. That's why it's so important to keep instruments out of direct sunlight, store them in cool places where possible, with cases closed, perhaps under the bed or in the shade. The impact of indoor central heating. But the risk of cracks isn't limited to summertime heat. An overly central heated house can also cause cracks, as central heating is a very dry heat. There are lots of humidifying products on the market that string players can store in their cases to prevent cracks. Finch tells Classic FM that string players work very hard to figure out how best to store their instruments. It depends on the instrument because every instrument is a little different. My cello loves humidity. Other instruments hate humidity. But generally, in the wintertime, whenever the artificial heat goes on, you must keep instruments humidified. Cambridgeshire woodwind maker Daniel Bangham has similar instructions for wind players. My advice for caring for all woodwind instruments is as follows, he tells Classic FM. After performing on the instrument, use a swab or pull through to dry out the bore of the instrument. This is the hole down the middle. Then put the instrument along with the damp swab back in the case and shut the lid. This will create a microclimate inside the case, which will keep the instrument pads, hold stoppers, and the wooden body hydrated and stable. The case should now be put somewhere cool, but not cold like a fridge, and not in an air-conditioned room or car. Cold air, as you have with air conditioning, is very dry and will damage your instrument. Some woodwind instruments are made from wood, others from plastic, and saxophones are made from brass. They all can suffer if they get too hot. It is wooden instruments, however, that need the most care and attention. That article ends with this. What about if it's too cold? The cornet player in my brass band once told us about an outdoor Remembrance Day gig where the moisture he blew into the instrument froze. Blowing down a brass instrument leads to condensation forming inside. It is feasible that on a really cold day, an outside gig could lead to water freezing inside the instrument. This would stop the valves working. As well as valves, pads, and corks can break or crack due to the cold weather, not too dissimilar from how hotter temperatures affect an instrument. In February 2021, millions in Texas were left without power, heat, and running water following a severe winter storm, which saw temperatures drop to below minus 20 degrees Celsius. One of those left shivering in their homes was violinist and music teacher Aaron Boyd, who swaddled his 17th century violin, fearing it would crack in the dry air. To prevent the 330-year-old instrument being damaged, Boyd slept with the violin for 3 nights in a row. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, Is There a Link Between Music and Math? This is published in ScientificAmerican.com by Nadine Gabb and Jennifer Zuck on May the 1st, 2017. Learning to play a musical instrument relies on understanding concepts such as fractions and ratios that are important for mathematical achievement. But the precise relation between music and math, whether musical training promotes mathematical ability, or mathematical skill influences musical ability, or whether those skills simply develop in parallel, remains unclear. Previous research has linked instrumental musical training to mathematical achievement, but this link is highly debated. For example, students who are musically trained have been observed to have higher mathematics grades and standardized test scores compared with students who have not studied music. Yet, not all studies have found an association between these two sets of skills. Furthermore, research has yet to determine whether the proposed link can be explained by other confounding factors, such as socioeconomic background, for example. If you grow up in a household with good financial resources, you are more likely to be able to afford music lessons, attend a good school, and so on. Motivation, educational setting, or overall parental involvement. To identify whether superior math abilities are a direct result of musical training, we need longitudinal studies that measure mathematical skill before and after such training and that control for these variables. It is also possible that other cognitive factors contribute to an individual's success in music and mathematics. In fact, research has suggested that the link may be driven by high-level cognitive processing skills that are necessary for both subjects, such as executive functions, which allow individuals to adjust to changing task demands. Executive functions are known to be a strong predictor of academic achievement, even more so than general intelligence. Playing a musical instrument recruits these functions through, for example, constantly adjusting your motor movements to changing tempos and key signatures. To date, a few studies have suggested a link between musical training and executive functioning skills. But longitudinal studies are also needed to establish whether this is a causal link or whether these skills develop side by side. Until then, we should just simply enjoy studying math or music if it positively enriches our lives. And in a somewhat related article titled, Musical Expertise and Personality, Differences Related to Occupational Choice and Instrument Categories. This is published in Personality and Individual Differences, Volume 173, April 2021, by Karen L. Kuchelkorn et al. The abstract reads, several studies have documented personality differences between musicians and non-musicians, and there have also been reports of personality differences between musicians playing different instruments. However, the samples have been small, and findings are often inconsistent between studies. Here, we investigated Big Five personality differences between professional musicians, amateur musicians, and non-musicians in more than 7,000 participants, as well as differences related to instrument categories. We had two specific hypotheses, i.e., that musicians would have higher openness than non-musicians, and that singers would be more extroverted than instrumentalists. Indeed, we found large group differences in openness, with professionals scoring higher than amateurs, who scored higher than non-musicians. Furthermore, singers were, as predicted, higher on extroversion than instrumentalists among both professionals and amateurs. We also found that professionals had higher neuroticism, lower agreeableness, and lower consciousness than amateurs. For professionals and amateurs, there were personality differences between instruments, but the patterns were inconsistent. This suggests that the differences were not primarily related to instrument choice per se, but instead possibly moderated by other factors such as musical genre and the social context of music making in each group.
Road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
Willie Nelson's On the Road Again introduces our local music news. It's entitled Willie Mellencamp to Bring Farm Aid 2022 to Raleigh. How to get tickets. This is published in the News and Observer by Mark Schultz on the 26th of July, 2022. Farm Aid, the full-day music festival celebrating American family farmers, will come to Raleigh for the second time this September, organizers announced Tuesday. Farm Aid 2022 will take place Saturday, September 24th at Coastal Credit Union Music Park at Walnut Creek. Tickets will go on sale to the public at 10 a.m. Saturday, July 30th at LiveNation.com. This year's festival will feature Farm Aid board members Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp, Dave Matthews with Tim Reynolds, and Margot Price, as well as Chris Stapleton, Cheryl Crow, Nathaniel Ratliff and Night Sweats, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real, Allison Russell, Charlie Crockett, Brittany Spencer, and Particle Kid, according to a news release. The festival will showcase how farmers are leading the way to mitigate climate change by sharing their stories on the Farm Aid stage and throughout the event. The release stated, Farm Aid has raised $64 million in 35 years. The festival last took place in Raleigh in 2014.
Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
I've always said that family farmers strengthen us all, Nelson Farm Aid's president and founder said in the release. Farmers in North Carolina, across the Southeast, and all over the country are growing solutions to our toughest challenges, including climate change, he said. We're bringing Farm Aid here to highlight their hard work and celebrate the ways we can all join farmers to help. Agriculture generates $92.7 billion annually and employing 17.5% of the state's workforce, more than 700,000 jobs, according to the release. Across North Carolina, climate change is affecting rural communities, especially communities of color, and those working on the state's 41,500 farms. North Carolina farmers are implementing techniques to mitigate climate change, including planting crops to cover soil between growing seasons, rotating crops, reducing soil tillage, integrating livestock and crop production, raising pastured livestock, and improving soil and water management, the release stated. Farm Aid will monitor the COVID-19 situation and will update protocols leading up to the festival, organizers said. Farm Aid 22 coming to Raleigh, North Carolina on September the 24th. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1845 that the French army did what? Was it A, the French army ransacked the Russian embassy in Paris? B, the French army arrested Napoleon and held him hostage in Notre Dame? Was it C, the French army closed down all cabarets and prohibited the can-can? Or was it D, the French army introduced the saxophone to its military band? Correct answer? Answer D. As noted in an article published in militarymusic.com in 2010, the sax horns and saxophones attracted the attention of the French army, who gave inventor Adolphe Sax of Belgium the exclusive contract to outfit their bands. Saxophones were first employed in the French military bands as a voice of compromise between brass and woodwinds. The warmth and tonality of the instrument, particularly the alto and tenor, became mainstays in all of the French military bands, beginning with its first introduction. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1969 that what happened in Moscow? Was it A, the Russian army ransacked the French embassy in Moscow? Was it B, Nikita Khrushchev threatened on Moscow radio to invade the United States? Was it C, the Beatles held an open-air concert in downtown Moscow? Or was it D, thousands of Moscow telephone booths were destroyed by thieves to get phone parts used in converting acoustic guitars to electric? Correct answer? Answer D. A Moscow police chief reported in 1969 that thousands of Moscow telephone booths had been made inoperable by thieves who had stolen phone parts in order to convert their acoustic guitars to electric. So let's close out today's program with an instrumental salute to the electric guitar, Peter Frampton's Sweet Liberté. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.